First of all, let me apologize for last week. Went to record the class, got sidetracked because I knew I had to be somewhere last Wednesday, and I got sidetracked, and I didn't think it was fair to you for me to do the class so late and expect you to get it done in such a short period of time. So I just eliminated that class, and so here we are. Tonight, I want to talk about the third part of our tri-type being. Remember last week I talked to you and we talked about the spirit is king, the soul is the manager, and the body is the slave. You know the statement we made last week, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. We are a tri-type being. And so being that the body is the slave, if we're not careful, the body will try to be king. And so we have to know how to deal with our bodies. You know, a lot of times we give the flesh a bad rap. We give the flesh a bad rap because of the sin nature. But the Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. So the word redeemed means we've been put back in our former position. What former position have we been put in? We've been put in, we now, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have the ability to go back to the original way our bodies were supposed to be, which was without without sin. Sin has no more dominion over us. And so we can't just keep beating the flesh down, because here's one key that you must understand. Without your body, you can't be on earth. Grab that now. Without your body, you have no ticket to be in the natural. Your body is the ticket to be in the natural, to be on this earth. Without your body, there's nothing you can do on this earth without a human body. So we must begin to change our perception about our body, understand that what our body is for, understand how to properly treat our body, understand how to put our body in its place. The Apostle Paul said, well, I bring my body under subjection. He didn't say I beat my body down. He said, I bring my body under subjection. And so go with me to Psalms 139, chapter 139, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. I want you to get there. Psalms 139, verses 14 and 15. Listen, God gave us our bodies. God made our bodies. Nothing God made has things wrong with it. It's when the soul gets involved, when the soul that has not been renewed or has not been influenced with God gets involved, that's when things begin to mess up. That's all that happened to Adam and Eve. They allowed their soul to be affected without God, which caused their body to be affected. That's why they knew they were naked. They didn't know they were naked before. That's why they knew they were naked then, because their soul, Satan had access to their soul. When he had access to their soul, then he had automatic access to their bodies. And so that's why the sin nature resides in the flesh. But we are overcomers. We can overcome the sin nature that resides in our bodies. Watch what the psalmist David said in Psalms 139, verse 14. He says, I will praise thee, meaning I will praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Look at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. He said, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Talking about your body. Talking about how we're put together. How our spirit is king. How our soul is the manager. How our body is the slave. All those when properly, when every one of those parts are put in this place, how the body works together, how our whole tri-type being works as a team. See, God gave you your body. God loves your body. God wants your body. 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. Praise God. 1 Corinthians, God loves my body. Now, if God loves my body, I have to love my body. 1 Corinthians, the sixth chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 19. What? Now watch what it says. Know ye not that your what? Your body, your flesh is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wow. Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Do you realize this? I don't think some of us realize this because we beat our flesh down. We don't treat our flesh properly. We don't let other people treat our flesh properly. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your what? Verse 20, in your what? Body and in your spirit, which are God. So your body don't just belong to you. It also belongs to God. A price was paid. What price? The price that Jesus died on the cross. Listen, God, get this now. Jesus Christ not only died to redeem your soul, he died to redeem your body so that your body can be used to glorify God. Praise the Lord. So now I must understand that my body can be used by God. God can make my body supernatural. How does God make my body supernatural? By placing an anointing on you. Now, here's something you must understand about the anointing. The anointing is not needed in heaven. Let that sink in. The anointing is not needed in heaven. Look at what the definition of what the anointing does. Isaiah 10:27, I meant to say, it says the anointing is to remove burdens and to destroy yokes. There are no yokes and there are no burdens in heaven. So the purpose of the anointing is to remain in the earth realm on human flesh to remove burdens and to destroy yokes. Any burden and any yoke. That's the purpose of the anointing. So God makes our bodies supernatural by two things. Number one, allowing the Holy Spirit to live on inside of us. That's number one. And number two, by allowing his power to rest on us, his anointing, his burden-removing, yoke-destroying power to rest on us so we can accomplish his will. Are you catching this? God loves our body. You must understand that. If you don't understand that, you won't ever be used by God. You must love your body just like God loves your body. Watch this. Watch what the author says. Our bodies were designed for the presence of God in a unique and powerful way. Look what God said. Look what Joel prophesied it in Joel 2, but then Acts the 2nd chapter. Go there with me. Acts the 2nd chapter. Watch what it says in Acts the 2nd chapter. Glory to God. Understand how important your body is. Without a body, you have no legal right to be here on earth. Without your body, you can't do nothing in the earth realm for God. So therefore, you must treat your body like it needs to be treated. At times, your body has to be brought under subjection. At times, you need to pay attention to your body. At times, you need to discipline your body. Oh, my goodness. Acts, the 2nd chapter, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all souls. That's not what he said. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Are you kidding me? God said he's going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say pour his spirit upon spirit. He didn't say pour his spirit upon soul. He said he's going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. Let that sink in. So if God is willing to pour out his spirit on all flesh, that means the flesh plays an important role in establishing the kingdom of God. So your body can be supernaturally tuned by God with the anointing, with his grace. Your body plays an integral part in the prayer that Jesus prayed in Matthew's 6th chapter. In that Lord's Prayer, he said, God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will can only be done on earth through flesh. In the beginning was the Word, John 1. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus could not redeem us until he became flesh, until he had an earth suit, until he had a body. Listen to me. It's important that you understand how your body plays a role in establishing the kingdom of God. Now, the body has desires, three main desires: food, sex, and comfort. That's the three main desires of your body. Food, sex, and comfort. And God gave us all three desires. God gave us all three desires. But if we don't learn how to bring our bodies under subjection, those three desires can get us carried away, can cause us not to be in the will of God, can cause us not to fulfill the kingdom. If we don't allow our bodies to be disciplined, if we don't bring our bodies under subjection. Now, nothing wrong with none of the three desires, nothing. It's just when those three desires get perverted. See, watch how this works. God gave us desire for food so we can nourish our body and strengthen our bodies. God gave us the desire for sex so we can replenish the earth and carry out his will. You're not going to fulfill everything God wants to be done on the earth. That's why we have offspring. That's why we have children. And the third thing, comfort, God wants us to rest. Remember, on the seventh day, God rested after he created the earth. He wants us to have comfort so that we can rest. Why do our bodies need to rest? So we can be rejuvenated to continue to do what God is calling us to do. But let's look at the other side of it. If we don't discipline our bodies, if we don't bring our bodies under subjection, then we can allow our desire for food to overrun us. When our desire for food overrun us, our bodies don't function properly. When we allow our desire for sex to overrun us, we mess things up. We mess other people's lives up. When we allow our desire for comfort to overrun us, we become lazy. We become non-productive. So we have to learn to bring our bodies under subjection. You have to learn to put your body in its place. Glory to God. You have to put your body in its place. Nobody's going to put your body in its place but you. Watch. The body has no conscience. None. The body left unchecked will do anything it wants to do. It'll eat as much as it wants. It'll have sex with whoever it wants to have sex with. And it won't do no work at all if you don't make it do nothing. How many of us know people like that? Food run them. Or sex run them, or laziness run them. It's because they don't have their body under subjection. Those desires are out of control. We have three responsibilities for our bodies. Number one, we must care for our bodies. This is important. We must take care of our bodies. It is a mandate from God that we take care of our bodies. It's a mandate from God that we provide the right nutrients to our body. I highly encourage you. This pandemic we are going through is just about over now, because ain't nobody wearing masks no more, and football stadiums are full to the brim. The pandemic we went through, it was three things that caused COVID to run rampant. Diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease. If you had any underlying condition, COVID had more of an effect on those people. This is why the apostolic is so important, because about 3 to 4 years ago, apostles started teaching us on health. And if you made any minor changes, if you never heard apostle teach on health, at the beginning, he was a little rough at the beginning, and he was a little, he was raking us over the coals. He was plowing, as the old Baptist preacher say, he was plowing the field crossways. You need to go back and watch those archives. All you got to do is go to LeroyThompson.tv and type in health in the search bar, and all those videos are going to pop up. You need to watch them. I don't care how angry you get, sit there and force yourself to watch them, because anything that is wrong with your body, it's because of your eating or not resting. See, a lot of times we use medicine to cover those things. But when you get to the root of it, it's something you are doing. We don't like to talk about that. See, one of the things about the New Testament and in comparison to the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, they done things in groups. I had to wait for somebody else to do something for them. The priests had to go to present themselves to God in the Holies of Holies to present an offering, a sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of the people. That ain't happening no more in the New Testament. Since Jesus died on the cross, it's all about you, the individual. What are you going to do? Are you going to ask for forgiveness? Are you going to discipline your body? Are you going to pray? Are you going to present your body a living sacrifice? See, Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, Apostle Paul writing, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. That means living sacrifice, meaning full strength, so that God can use you. How would you want somebody to present a gift to you? Already used, tattered, secondhand? Or would you like it to be brand new, ready to be used, full of power, full of use? Some of us are presenting our body to God used, tattered, not ready to perform, lacking energy, lacking stamina. Why? Because we either let food, sex, or comfort override us. We let one of those three desires get out of control. Oh man, I see preachers. They won't see preachers. Some preachers have integrity. And they work hard. But you can tell food run their lives. Then you have some preachers, some Christians, that food don't run their life. And they work hard, but sex run their life. Then you got some preachers, some Christians, where food don't run their life. Yep. Sex don't run their life, but they lazy. Preachers just want to get a message on Saturday night so they can preach on Sunday. Don't look for God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. They might be looking for him Tuesday night, they got Wednesday night Bible study. Or they might be looking for him for Wednesday afternoon, they got Wednesday night Bible study. We have to present our bodies to God in full strength, ready to be used by him. We cannot present our bodies to God after everything else has used our bodies up, after food has used us up, after sex has used us up, after laziness has used us up. So you must care for your body. That's number one. The second thing is you must command your bodies to obey God. Remember now, your body is the slave. You must command your body to obey God. If you don't have the ability to command your body to obey God, see, listen, and don't worry, we're going to get to all this. We're going to see how it's five different aspects of the soul. There's the emotion, the intellect and the reason, memory, imagination, and will. Those are going to be strengthened by the end of this class, by the end of this semester, by the end of this year, so that your body can be brought under subjection. Listen to this statement. If we cannot take authority over the things of our bodies, there is no way we will be able to have the responsibility to have authority over the greater powers of the spirit. Wow. Wow. Jesus was tempted of the devil. If you go read Luke in the 4th chapter, Jesus was tempted of the devil. First of all, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Not the devil, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know what that was doing? That was preparing him to face the enemy with no food on his stomach, meaning he was not going to let food, the desire for food, cause him not to bring his body into subjection. If you notice, the devil said, I'll turn these stones into bread. Jesus said, uh-uh. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Man. Jesus did not let comfort deter him. And he definitely let sex deter him. See, Jesus had a mission and he had an agenda and he had an assignment. And so Jesus understood that his body had to be a tip top. Do you imagine Jesus' body had to be in tip top shape? Let's get the natural for a little while with this discussion. Jesus had to be in tip top shape because he had to go to the cross, endure the shame, endure the torment, because he had to take lashes on his back for our healing. He had to put the crown on his head. They taunted him. Here the King of the Jews. So Jesus had to be physically in shape to sit on that cross. After they nailed him, he still was alive. And he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It is finished." And he left and went to handle more business in the supernatural, in hell. Jesus' body had to be in tip-top shape. Now, God is simply asking us to do simpler things. And if some of us don't have the strength, some of us can't show up to church on Sunday to get instructions. Why? Because we feel bad. Why? Because we're not eating the right things. We're not treating our body properly. Listen, if you have a problem with your body, you need to research and find out what is it going on. Go to the doctor. Find out what's going on. But once the doctor tell you what's going on, don't just stick with the medicine they recommending you that they prescribe to you. Find out what I need to do to change this in my body. The Bible says Jesus went throughout and healed them all. Jesus is healing you. But if you're doing something to combat what he's doing, you're going to negate the healing. He can heal you, but if you don't change your habits, I'll read a book one time, and the book said, anything you do for 21 days straight becomes a habit. One of the things that I'm doing personally, you got to find out what works for you. What I do personally, I've started this about over a year ago. I do intermittent fasting, where I do what's called 16-8. For 16 hours a day, I'm not eating nothing. Between the 8 hours, between 1 and 7, or 1 and 8, that's when I eat my meals. I get all my calories in. I do that on the weekend. I've even stepped up to another level since I've been doing it for a while now, is I do one meal a day. It's called OMAD for short. Let me ask you a question. Who told you had to eat 3 meals a day? Who told you that? I'll wait. I know who told it to you. I sure do. The USDA told it to you. The Food and Drug Administration told it to you. Do you know why they told it to you? Because they had to sell more food. That's exactly why. They had to sell more food. So if you eat breakfast is the most important meal of the day, they told you. They just told you that and we believed it. Why? Because they had to sell more food. So now you eat breakfast. A couple of hours, 3 or 4 hours later, you're eating lunch. That's if you didn't snack in between. You eat lunch, you're going to snack in the afternoon. Then you're going to eat dinner. Then you're going to snack that night. So that's 5 to 6 times you've eaten in a day. Now let me ask you a question. If you keep stuffing food down a garbage disposal without giving the garbage disposal a chance to grind the food up and dispose of it, what's going to happen? You're going to jam it and it's going to break. That is what we're doing to our bodies. So but either you got to eat less or you have to put your body on a regimen. There's something, without reading, you got to read. There's something called autophagy. To some of y'all, that's a new word, autophagy. Autophagy is the process of your good cells devouring the bad cells, eating the bad cells, and multiplying, devouring the bad cells, and then splitting into good cells. The good cells in your body, after autophagy sets in, after 16 hours of fasting, autophagy sets in. What happens is the good cells begin to eat the damaged cells in your body, consume them. And then they consume them. Once they consume them, the bad cells no longer exist and the good cells exist and they split. So now instead of having damaged cells, you got more good cells. That's what happened when autophagy sets in. But we don't ever let autophagy set in because our cells are fully fed. Because when you keep eating, If you eat more than your body can burn, then it turns into stored fat. It has to go somewhere. These are things, read for yourself. These are things. I want my body in tip-top shape so when God calls for me, I'm at the optimal health that I can be used, that I can go through a pandemic. I don't have to take, now don't get me wrong, I'm not condemning nobody. I don't have to take a shot. I can use my own immune system to fight off. God gave me the perfect defense, my own immune system. I can use my own immune system to ward off and to fight off any viruses. So I can go through a pandemic and still declare the works of the Lord. I don't get shut down. I don't get my life cut off short. My body's at full optimal. My body's strong because I care for it, because I bring it under subjection when I need to. You need to learn to be able to wake your body up and shut it down. There's some times at night when God will wake me up and I begin to pray. Ain't time for me to sit there and say, well, I'm sleepy. I need more. I train my body. I get the rest I need. I'm able to shut my body down. If you got insomnia, it's probably something you're eating. Probably your mind racing and you don't know how to think on these things, whichever just, whichever pure, whichever lovely, to calm yourself down. Eating the wrong foods. So I think it's circadian. So your circadian rhythm is thrown off. See, you're in control of that. You have something to do with that. Bless God. I'm glad you're listening to me tonight because you can change these things. You've got control over your body. You have to train your body to be able to wake up at a moment's notice and go to sleep. There are times when God wants to talk to you. And the only time he can get you clear is in the middle of the night when everything else is quiet. The third responsibility you have is you have to strategize to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. You need to make a schedule for eating properly. I just told you my schedule. I eat one meal a day between 1 and 7 on the weekends. During the week, I do OMAD, one meal a day. Once I eat that one meal, it's a solid 24 hours before I eat another meal. Why? Because I want to give my body a chance to break down what I've eaten so it can use it for energy and fuel. So autophagy can set in. So if I have any excess fat, if I have any excess bad cells, they can be devoured and replenished with good cells. Listen to me. Anything you do for 21 days becomes a habit. And listen, you make time for what's important to you. You make time for what's important to you. I can follow a person's life, and in 5 days, I can find out what's important to them. Because people make time for what's important to them. Your body has to become important to you. You have to make time to take care of your body. You must discipline your day. You must see, this is one of the things, Christian, this is important because a Christian has to discipline themselves to spend time with God. I know all of us have gone through it. When it's time to pray, all of a sudden we get sleepy. When it's time to read the word of God, we get sleepy. When it's time to spend time with God, something else comes up. You must discipline. Discipline is the root word of disciple. I've never seen an undisciplined disciple. I've never seen a disciple that's not disciplined. You have to be disciplined to be a disciple. So if you're a disciple of Christ, you have to discipline your body. I bring my body under subjection. Sometimes you have to plan your day. You have to on purpose say, I'm going to spend time with God now. I'm going to spend time with God with this part time of the day. And I'm not going to let anybody deter me from it. I've disciplined myself so much that everything else is now secondary to me. When God start talking, I shut everything and everybody off. Oh yeah, when God start talking, that's how I discipline my body. My body knows. And if my body get to acting up, I'm going to discipline it. I'm not going beat my body down, but my no has to be no. And my body has to know I mean business when I say no. When I say no, I'm not doing this, or no, I'm not eating this, or no, we going to do this. My body already knows I better get in line, because if not, I got some more training coming. Because my soul is going to be, my soul, the manager that's being renewed with the word of God, is going to get this body straight. I hope you listen at me tonight. This is not something that's going to happen in 1 week, but you can start tonight. You can start tomorrow. You can start by educating yourself. If you got any sickness or disease, you can begin by educating yourself on the sickness and disease to find out, what can I do to reverse this? Listen, the power of God is on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit is living. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So don't tell me that you can't reverse this thing. Don't tell me that you can't find the answer. You have the very Spirit of God who knows what God is thinking on the inside of you. So you can reverse any disease, you can reverse any sickness, and your body can become strong. You can lose any amount of weight you want to lose. Don't tell me that you can't do it. If you're going to use an excuse, the steroids I'm on, stop taking the steroids. Find out what can you take in place of the steroids so you don't gain weight. There's something you can do. The Holy Spirit, this is not about condemnation. I'm preaching for a conviction. I'm teaching for a conviction here. I want you to live long. I want you to present your body a living sacrifice, not a half-dead one. A living sacrifice, ready to be used by God. I got stamina. I got energy. God, where you want to go? The Bible talks about Joshua and Caleb in their old age was ready to take the mountain in their old age. They was ready to take the mountain. Why? Because they treated their bodies right. They understood what to eat, what not to eat. They understood they had to keep their body under subjection. They had to get their body the right amount of rest. They had to do what they had to do so God can use them. And the same thing can happen for you. So from this day forward, don't treat your body as a carrier of the sin nature. Treat your body as a carrier of the Spirit of God. See, a lot of you thought fasting was about spirituality. No, fasting was about strengthening your body so that you can be supernatural. Glory to God. So that you can give your body a chance to recover. Give your body a chance to rejuvenate. Give your body a chance to be strengthened. You need to get out and walk. Get out and ride your bike. Do something so that you can increase your stamina. So that when God calls on you, you won't tire out quickly. Because get out of survival mode with your body and get into thriving mode. Always have excess energy. God, what else you want to do, God? What else you need me to do? You must bring your body. The only way you do that is you must bring your body under subjection. Those three desires, food, sex, and comfort. All three desires given to you by God, but you can't let Satan exploit them. I bless you tonight. I'll see you next week.